Blog Talk Radio.
We're gonna do it up to 25.
Two hands hold each other. That feels different from when your hands are in mine. That's just the way it is. And when my voice is screaming out through my own ears, that feels different from when I hear yours. Now that's just the way it is. In this mirror, after all these years, what I'm viewing is a little different from what your eyes show ya. I guess I didn't see myself before ya. Moving forward, a subtle power, a tough love. Tough love.
And I thought the world would revolve.
I thought the world would revolve.
Without us.
Without us. Without us. Without us.
But nothing I know could slow us down. Couldn't slow us down.
I thought I could live without you. Break us down. And just like you, I can't be scared. And just like you, I hope I'm fed. But it's tough love. I know you feel it in the air. Even the babies know it's there. Tough love. The laws of the world tell us what goes to the sky and what falls. The laws of the world never stopped us one. Cause together we got plenty superpower.
Welcome to One Love, One Connection, One Us. And tonight we are presenting the 20 tips for a successful marriage. And before we get started, oh, And by the way, my name is Arlene Cahet, and on the line is my beloved. Say hi, beloved.
Hi, beloved. Oh, hi, beloved. How you doing? I'm sure the family is doing great out there, and if not, we're sending you some magical power right now.
Yes, because we've got plenty of that superpower.
Yeah.
But before we get started, we are going to get ourselves prayed in, and then we are going to go ahead and get into our 20 tips for a successful marriage. So we will be right back.
And I'm a cookie you mean come. Then she's a cover, but I don't just like one to her. No, shake a cover what side of my tottum, I can wait to see could take her. To me, God, love to sing Kaddush, but a tooth gonna hell out of a taker. You king, eh? I'm chopping it. So, clear Kaddush and taker. So, Vata Nukabel, Lushma, Tizakatu. You dare to have a role, production. Kuhumal tuko malam vayam. Production. Kuhumal tuko malam vayam. And I will call on Kijalaya Yominka. The deity that I can bear and I am Sagvanu Tavanu Nara. Nagi bodo shego dega kawawat saron bakun saron rakun metu ziku teka samin ganlam shisin kadush but a tooth gonna hell out of taker yikige and shapane to prayer kadush taker Vatanu Kobel, Ushma, Tizakatu. You're there to Alamo, production, Kuhumo to go, Lalambay. Production, Kuhumo to go, Lalambay. Nagibodo Shega Dega Kawasaram.
heart comes out alright for me to see the ticker. To me and God loves to see in Kaddush, but a tooth gonna hell out of take the key yeah, from top of me to prayer Kaddush to take out from Vata Nukovil. Ushma says I got to win. You dance and I don't know, but action go about to go while I'm by it. But action go about to go while I'm by
back. So, as I stated earlier, so today we are going to talk about 20 tips that are to help you with having a better marriage. I think we put 20 tips for a successful marriage. Now, just so that you know, I did not want to inundate the people because these tips actually come from yourtango.com, and it's actually 50 tips that they've given you, but I did not want to just roll through all 50 of them tonight and be forever talking because I know I can be a little long-winded. But anyway, do you have anything to add, honey?
I don't think you can be long-winded. I know you can be long-winded, but I know that you have a wisdom that manages that. So I'm with you 100%.
Okay. So let us go ahead and get started. So just so you know, these are our tips that come from people who are considered marriage experts. So they say, number one, if your goal is to have a satisfying marriage with longevity, make sure you are accountable for the part you play in the relationship, be it good or bad. So when you are in denial about your part in the relationship, then you are no better than a child flinging sand at another child in the sandbox. And when you take responsibility for your part in the marriage, only then will you be able to connect with your partner in a mature, intimate way. That was by Karen Goldstein. So what do you think, honey? Honey, I don't... Is it me that's muted, or is it you? King, can you hear me? Are you muted? Okay, let's try this, because it looks like I'm not sure of which one of us is having the sound issue. Okay, so what I will share in the meantime while I'm getting our technical difficulties lined up. So one of the issues that I've often seen one of my favorite shows, Divorce Court. I'm sorry, family. It is one of my one of those reality shows that I've had a liking for a while. And one of the things that often comes up is one of the things that does come up is the lack of accountability for some of the people who come on to the show. It seems to be something that is challenging. Do I have too many numbers here? Yeah. Let me try it. So, and a lack of accountability, it is, you know, one of the things that I always find interesting about the shows is that they are able to it's the sound on your phone, honey. Because I can hear myself from there.
I have it on mute right now.
Okay.
Hold on.
Now, please bear with us, family.
Did you hear anything?
No.
That's what's wrong.
Sure. Yes, I can hear you on the 973 number. Okay, so, and it's really interesting. A lot of times when I'm watching the show, it is like watching children or people who have had like what I consider like their unresolved issues from childhood or the way that they used to manage as children come up in, you know, in their dealings when they're going to see the judge who is a third party to help them to navigate their marriage, because them actually having an interaction with each other is not working. So in a sense, coming on the show is actually a good way for them to get clarity on whatever their experiences. But you do have those individuals who just will not own their part, or if they're feeling some kind of way about what they have done, then they do this thing of deflecting and say, well, you know, you did XYZ. You know, instead of talking about me, let's talk about you and what you did. And really, in order for it to be a successful marriage, I have to agree with this one, that you have to be accountable for your own actions and take ownership of that. It does show a sense of maturity. Are you there, honey? Okay, so which one do you want me to use?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Okay, all righty. So do you have anything to add to what I had to share about number one?
Yeah, what I was looking at. You hear me?
Yes.
I'm hearing feedback.
Yeah, but that's
are we good?
Yeah, we're good now.
Okay. It said something about your part. When you are in denial about your part in a relationship, the thing is how do you determine what your part is?
Okay, so are you actually you're asking me the question? So, your part. Okay. So, I will give a for instance. So there was there was one couple where the husband, or the person who wanted to be the husband, it was before your vows. There was one person who, the woman in the relationship, she was withdrawing her affections from the gentleman in the relationship. And the reason why she was withdrawing her affections was because he was having some issues with his sexual identity. He did not want to own up to, because he had, let's put it this way, or he was not wanting to actually put a label on himself and called himself gay or bisexual or whatever the case may be, whatever the sexual orientation. All he wanted, but he was complaining about her withdrawing the loving. And the reason why she had stopped and withdrew her affections was because he had had this affair. Now, he was complaining about all of these things that she was not doing any longer in the relationship, and that he had gone ahead and did everything that the judge had said before, with leveling up, with getting a better job, with, making himself, putting himself in a place where he was more economically stable, and he had actually purchased a house and done a number of things. But he stepped out of the marriage and had sex with a man and found out that he liked it. Now, all he was doing was complaining about the part where he was, where she was no longer giving him any more loving. Well, according to her, she was like, he was getting all of that beforehand. He was, before he went to have relations with a man. She was like, I was cooking, I was cleaning, I was giving him all of the sex that he wanted, but he goes out with this other person. He goes out with this man, and she was like, I don't have anything that can compete with that. And how can I, how can I trust that he will, be able to stay, committed to me? If when things were, I think that they were having a little bit of a dispute, but it was, whatever it was, it wasn't something that was insurmountable. But he went ahead and stepped out. So how can I trust that he won't step out of the relationship just because something will, goes a little awry, or there's something that we need to work on? His part in that was that he stepped out on the relationship, and he wasn't taking ownership of the fact that his behavior caused her to start acting differently towards him. And in addition to that, he wasn't taking ownership of his own sexuality, because when they would sit him down and say, okay, so are you gay? Are you bisexual? He's like, I'm not, I don't believe in labels. I don't believe in labels. And I'm just wanting somebody to love me for me and love me unconditionally. And the thing is that, for it to be really, again, I would say that because he wasn't in the place of identifying himself, or at least being completely honest with himself, never mind, my thought is, never mind what you call it, when you see this type of behavior, you go ahead and you take ownership of your part in it. So that.
I'm sorry. I mean, gee whiz, you grab this example that is so, like, you say go awry. It's like this guy got dang in his tang. And, I mean, and the wife is supposed to be like, oh, it was just a little something, something. That's a major hit.
But, you know, but the thing is that he wasn't being accountable for his part of things not going the way he desired. And she was not interested in that place of getting married to him anymore because he had been with the dude. But, you know, I mean,
right.
this is a big thing. I guess you could say
right.
This is a big thing. But it's, I mean, okay, should I give a smaller example?
Well, let's kind of float on this thing here for a minute, right? It's like they say, now, I just want to share, like you said before, this is a portion of the 50 best marriage tips of all time from 50 marriage experts collected over 13 years. Okay, that's found on Your Tango. Now, his tango messed up the whole program. And the first note that they make here is, if your goal is to have a satisfying marriage longevity, make sure you are accountable for the part you play in the relationship, good or bad. Now, I think a lot of people, with the example that you gave us, would probably look for exit strategy because this was not part of, so I believe, was not part of the agreement. So there's a lot going on with that example that is just like off the hook. So I would say if we're aiming at, and I'm not trying to keep this long, but I'm just saying, if your goal is to have a satisfying marriage of longevity, make sure you are accountable for the part you play in the relationship. To me, more aligns with knowing who you are, your responsibility, your accountability in the mutuality of the relationship, and what roles you have chosen to accept, which if you want to modify as you go along, it's important to have the communication that's necessary that allows longevity to be a factor. There was definitely a communication breakdown on this, brother. Because, I mean, geez, oh, whiz. You know, how you going to come? I just can't fit myself in that equation. That's like, you know how you say there's those non-negotiables?
Yes.
I'm thinking, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I mean,
so I have, let's try an example that may be a little bit, you know, where people are not stepping out on each other. Okay. So, all right. Same show, different people. All right.
Okay.
So there was a couple. They were on the divorce court, and the husband, I can't even call him a husband because they weren't really married, but the mother of the children, they were in a relationship, and they were doing everything, yeah. But in the relationship, she was saying that he would, the gentleman, you know, that she could not talk to him. that the reason why she was on the show was because, you know, maybe somebody else would be able to show him or let him know in a way that, you know, that hurt the issues that she was having. So one of the things that was happening was that the gentleman in the relationship would only respond to what it was that what he thought the person was talking about. And he wouldn't actually answer the question, or he wasn't actually listening. So one of the things that they have been having communication issues over is like how he was disciplining the children. And so one of the things that the judge had asked him was, do you feel that you have an anger problem? And he starts going on over and over again about, you know, not feeling really affronted by being told about how to raise the children. And she was like, what did I ask you? The judge. She was like, what did I ask you? And he pauses for a minute, and he doesn't really remember. She was like, there. That is one of the problems there. Do you know how frustrating it is to live with a person who's not actually listening? You're just responding to respond because of what you're feeling inside, but you're not actually responding to the question that I asked you. And she was like, and so she was like, now I want you to listen to the question, and I want you to just answer the question. Do you feel you have an anger management problem? And you know, he paused for a minute, and he said, yes. what eventually came out was that what he was really upset about, because he wasn't really angry at the family as much as he was angry at himself. And he lost his CDL because he did not pay some parking tickets. And so what he had been doing is, you know, he had been taking like these part-time gigs in the middle of the night. And, you know, and the thing was, is that he was a bear to live with. And, you know, it came out that, that his part, the part that he was not seeing was that he was fighting the wrong thing. That he needed to pay down those parking tickets so that he could get back on the road and start making more money and start being the breadwinner so that he could start feeling better about himself, because it was all about what he was facing was a whole lot of negative talk about how he's feeling about himself. He had been working in a warehouse, and he had constantly been losing jobs because these jobs were paying significantly less, and he did not like having a boss. So he would get, you know, he would get in a huff and he would leave these jobs, you know, and he had gone through several jobs. And what the judge told him was she was like, I think that what might be happening to you is that you're so angry at yourself that you're letting your anger spill onto your family, and that the discipline that you're giving, the discipline that you're probably, exacting on the children is probably excessive because you are angry with yourself, and you don't want to create those tornadoes in the minds of your children. And the woman that you're, or in your wife, but you don't want to, you know, create tornadoes in the house that, you know, because of the way you're feeling. And she was like, and what the thing is that when you walk into that place, before you go in, you say, I'm not going to let these people get make me angry, because I'm paying down those tickets to get my CDL. I'm paying down those bills to get this CDL. That is what your fight is with. You know, there's no, because there, you know, you need to focus that energy on your solution. And so the thing was, is that because he was not taking responsibility, they were having conversations about things that were the effect, but not, you know, they were trying to take care of like the effects, but they hadn't been addressing the cause, and he hadn't been taking ownership of what it was that he was feeling. And as a result of him not taking ownership and taking responsibility for his part, he was bringing chaos within his home.
Okay.
Is that a better, okay, that's
most
a better example.
Definitely, yeah. And I can appreciate that, because you're looking at a situation there that exhibits the emotion controlling the individual, as opposed to the person allowing his actions to control his emotions. So the ingredient that I find interesting with the first comment, first statement that's brought into the equation, is if your goal is to have a satisfying marriage of longevity, should be to have the goal of having a satisfying marriage of longevity. So that's what marriage should really be about. And you have to make sure that you're tweaking what's required in order to recognize your part, which I can clearly see in the example that you gave. And our listening audience, I just want you to know that Arlene loves to do research with this show called Divorce Court. I share that because at one point I started to become worried, because I was like, wait a minute, we doing okay. I think our marriage is fine. So why is she looking at Divorce Court so much? What's going on here? And so as I sat with her and I watched it to see what was happening, it's the process of research in and of itself, so that she can see what type of people are out there that are having problems, how to assess what's affecting the individuals in their union, and what seems to be reasonable solutions to their issues. So Judge Lynn Toler is a very good friend of Arlene's. They have yet to meet, but when they do, it's going to be a ball, I tell you true.
Okay. So with that, we will move on to number two. Okay, so number two is, research consistently shows that touching creates a stronger bond by releasing oxytocin. So holding hands, rubbing shoulders, a hug, a kiss, giving high fives, or even fist bumps or bottom pats. When you give a quick hug or kiss, try to lengthen it to at least 5 or 10 seconds for more effective results. And that one was by Lori Lowe. I think she's a thing of marriage, type of marriage therapist. Anyway, so touching, very important in marriage, and not necessarily restricting it to when you want sex. So again, here's what I will say. One of the things that's a part of the Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And there are some people who actually have that as their particular love language. But even still, even if you are not, even if that may not necessarily be your love language, touching actually does create a stronger bond between people. It does show camaraderie, friendship, love and affection for one another. And in a relationship, I think that it may be a place where it is a necessity. Now, there are a lot of people out there who are in relationships and they find this to be challenging, challenging because they never saw it as an example. But I would suggest.
It's okay. It's okay. Fireworks. I got you, boo boo.
We're sorry, family.
We living for the city people, ain't no doubt about it, right here in the BMOA. And they do a whole lot more than they do in other places. So when you hear something go pop, you ain't too sure what it is until you pause. And that's what happened just then.
Okay.
Yeah, the 4th of July is on its way.
Yes, it is. So the touching, it does create a stronger bond, and it does release oxytocin in the blood. Anything you want to add to that? I think that's self-explanatory.
Well, almost, because there's three things that also needs to be said in regards to this. They're saying here, more touching brings and releases the oxytocin. Two, you have to communicate with one another to find out what kind of touching your partner is more inclined to enjoy compared to what you may be inclined to enjoy. Because if you are touching your partner in a way that is irritating to them, then you're going to draw more friction than the support or the joy that you would be anticipating. So I remember in a relationship, I had a friend who would love to rub my hand, but it was so weird because it was like when she rubbed my hand like she was rubbing my fur in the wrong direction. You know, I think if an animal has fur on that you rub the wrong way, I don't think that's as comfortable as rubbing their fur the right way. So you've heard the phrase, don't rub my fur the wrong way. So I think it's important to work on the communication that is necessary to find out what areas your partner likes to be touched, what they like in regards to being touched. Some people can't do holding hands out in public. So I know a lot of guys feel that way to a certain extent. So if you're constantly reaching for their hand and they're like, they haven't gotten to the place to where they're comfortable with that and they feel as if it's a ball and chain effect, then you're going to energize a negativity in your reaching out as opposed to discovering what is the most mutual expression. So communication is always key. There's no doubt about it. And I just wanted to bring that to the table so you understand collectively that it is important to touch And more touching creates a stronger bond because of the oxytocin that are released. But make sure that's what you're releasing.
Okay. All righty. So we're going to move on to number three.
Yeah.
Learn how to agree to disagree. So it says no two people agree on everything, and that's okay. But it's important to be okay with each other's differences. And that's with that comes from Lee Bowers, PhD. So,
and that seems self-explanatory for sure.
Yeah, most definitely.
What's your thought?
Yeah, we... let's just say that, you know, like those subjects that would be kind of touchy, maybe religion might be touchy for some people. Politics might be touchy for some people. It's okay for people to, you know, have a difference in opinion about those things and be okay with it. And just let them be. I guess my philosophy is to live and let live. And you know, and let's just say, I think that if the world always agreed, or we were living a sort of a homogenous type of experience, that life would not be interesting. The way infinite intelligence expresses itself through the people, you know, through people, there is a great deal of variety, a great deal of expression. And if infinite intelligence has no problem with us being different, with each snowflake being different, with each leaf on a tree being different, with each, you know, human being being different, then we should be okay with the differences as well. And if, you know, if you feel that the subject is a little too touchy, you could say, you know, maybe it's best that, you know, in order to keep on friendly terms, that we don't need to talk about this, but that we don't agree and we could just leave this alone. Yeah, that it's a perfectly okay to do that. Anything to add?
Nope, I think you're right.
Okay, so we're going to move on to number four. Sometimes it's not about the amount of money you spend on a gift. It's about the thought that goes into something. Take the time to write a thoughtful note every so often saying what you love and appreciate about him or her. Drop it in his or her briefcase or purse so he or she will find it unexpectedly and it will brighten up his or her day. And that comes from Suzanne K. Ushima. And she's a dating coach. What do you think?
Excellent. Excellent. It's key to show your love. That's what I see right there. And I guess this must be in more regards into giving gifts.
Gifts. Yeah, get a gift.
Yeah. So if you can give gifts all day long if you really want to, but you don't want to inundate a person with foolishness behind it.
Okay.
Find a value. Okay. Yeah, find a value in the love and share that. And you'll be surprised what that does in regards to bringing more joy and comfort to the expression, appreciation. Everybody loves gratitude and appreciation.
Most definitely. Five. For men, This is one from specifically for men. It says, it's important to understand that women want to be listened to. Men don't need to solve or fix everything. Listening itself is an exceptional gift. For women, it's important to understand that men need time for themselves. By giving him space to pull away and not take it personally, you allow him to reconnect with his desires for you and his commitment to the relationship. And this is from Mars Venus Coaching, Life Coach. So this is specifically coming from, what's his name? John Gray. John Gray, women are from Mars, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And I will say, okay, so I'm gonna go again back to Judge Lynn Toler for this one, because I see this one comes up quite a bit. So I know that one of the things that John Gray says in his book, and I'm going to go to Lynn Toler in a moment, but one of the things that he says in his book is that men, when women talk to men, men are assuming that women are wanting men to solve the problems. And actually, there's no problems to solve. It's just that women have the tendency to connect through communication and through talking with one another. It is, you know, I think for many women, it is a need. But I do know some women that don't talk. what he has found. I do know some people, women who don't talk. But anyway, but women do tend to communicate differently, and they have that. And the way that women bond with each other is through talking. Through talking with each other. Men, they found, and men are from Mars, women are from Venus, that men do like to take some time to themselves in order to regroup and recharge and then come back into the relationship. So this pulling away is for a place for him to sort of restore himself. And apparently this is, they have found that there is some type of scientific evidence that during this alone time, men actually are having a bit more of a buildup of testosterone before, so they leave, sort of recharge themselves, and then come back into the relationship. It's not that this time of connecting and what have you, it's not that the man is leaving you, because women tend to have a need to want to be connected with you and communicating all the time, but it's not necessary. But going to Judge Lynn, she oftentimes, it depends on there are oftentimes that the men and women are not communicating. And one of the things that she always says is that, or she says to the men, is that women love to talk. Women just love to talk. And all you have to do is really just sort of sit there and listen. Now, she actually talks about her husband, and she says that her husband doesn't listen to almost, she said, close to like 80% of the stuff that she has to say. But when she wants him to focus in and listen, she will actually touch him on the knee and say to him, "Honey, I really need you to hear this. I'm going to be traveling to XYZ. I'm going to be traveling out of the city, on the 25th of June, and I want, you need to be cognizant of this because I need you to take me to the airport that day." And so that is the trigger word for him to know that, the trigger word to know that all of that, all of the other other stuff that she's saying to him, you know, he allows her that opportunity to go ahead and express herself. But when he really needs to listen to something important, that is his signal to listen to something important, because there's something in it that he has to do, that he has, that there's something in there, like maybe a job for him to do, or there's some information that's important enough that she wants him to pay closer attention to it. And also, one of the things that she also says is that, you know, giving actually, that's unrelated. But I think that, yeah, I just realized that may be unrelated. It could come in a little bit further down the line. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, see, if I wasn't listening, I would have thought that you were going to be leaving on June the 25th, going somewhere. And I was like, we didn't talk about that. I'm just kidding. I think it's important that men understand that listening carefully, you'll know if by chance she needs you to fix something or she needs you to just listen. I used to have that problem in my previous relationship, and I always thought that in the sharing, I needed to address what was being discussed. So I always was the Mr. Fix-It, because that's the paradigm I came out of. You fix whatever this situation is, whatever it may be, when in actuality, you need to listen very carefully, because in the listening, you can respond appropriately at the appropriate time. Because if you start talking too soon and you're not listening, she's going to tell you you ain't hearing her. And you can cause a problem right then and there. And it can be tricky. It's called the art of listening. And sometimes we have to practice how to do that. And for the ladies out there, for the men to learn to practice the art of listening, they would need time to themselves so they can practice alone. Give them time to practice. So when they come back to play at the concert, they won't be making all of those mistakes they were making before, hitting the wrong notes and sounding terrible. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we are going to move on to number 6. The biggest waste of effort in a marriage is trying to change your spouse.
You can't fix them. You can't fix them.
The problems you have with your spouse are generally problems you have in yourself. Okay. So it says, when you try to change your spouse, you come across as a nag and wind up sending the message that who you are is not enough. Nobody likes getting that message, and it leads to distance and polarization. Let your spouse be who he or she is and focus on changing yourself. That comes from Dr. Rick Krishner, relationship coach. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's real good, because when I think back, there's a book called The Queen's Code, and they address that in a very interesting way, of which I would say if you're having relationship problems, that's a good book to read just to have a better understanding of men and women interaction. The Queen's Code.
Yeah, also that you should, and it should be noted that that particular book is written in storybook form. So it's not like a traditional self-help book. It gives you insight on the workings of how men think and how women think. And I guess you could say, yeah.
I would dare to interject that they share the societal influence that causes relationships to become traumatized. So they open the door to better see and get a better perception of the truth of what relationships ought to be in comparison to what society has manipulated people to accept as being okay.
Okay, and just so you know, the author of that book is Alison Armstrong. So it's The Queen's Code by Alison Armstrong. Okay, so let us move on. There's more that I could say about that, but we do have a limited amount of time on this. So, seven.
And one of the things I also want to share, too, is we could work this out to where we can do a part two or maybe even a part three if you like. So give us
okay.
a thought as you continue to move into number seven and eight, nine, 10, 11, 12.
Well, considering that, we're only on number seven. We're only on number seven, and we were having some technical issues earlier, so never mind. Okay, but yeah, there's more that I can say about that trying to change people, it doesn't work out. I recall, from my personal experience, I was in the first marriage. I was thinking that, you know, that things would eventually change within the marriage. If you can't accept the person as they are right now, then don't even bother wasting your time with that. The question you need to ask yourself, as the person is right now, do you think that you could live with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? And I, even at that time, I was asking that question, and I'll be honest with you, at that time, I know I said yes to the marriage, but, you know, in my heart, the answer was no. So that's something to be mindful of as well. If you're having that intuitive nudge that says you can't accept that person as they are, then maybe they're better off as a friend. All right. So number seven, Owen. The other thing is the only person that you really can work on is yourself. So number seven, see problems. Boredom in the bedroom, lack of conversation, resentment as symptoms, and treat those symptoms just as you would treat a chronic illness that seemingly has no cure. Throw at it every possible remedy you've got, no matter how alternative or weird it seems. Chances are one or more of them will actually work, and your marriage will get stronger and stronger. And that's with Allison Bowman, relationship coach.
That intro really is troubling. Treat it as a chronic illness that seemingly has no cure. Oh, my God. How about a cold? Let's say you can get some echinacea. You can go ahead and get some vitamin C. You know, start taking some Vitamins, as soon as you start noticing the symptoms are occurring. Chronic illnesses are more like COPD, emphysema. I don't know how the person worded this, but I guess with the medical background I have, this didn't work for me. I'm like, come on now.
But if we
look at it more along the lines of maybe, you know, when you have cold symptoms or you start noticing a sniffling or sneezing, and literally you go to take your vitamins, echinacea, your vitamin C, vitamin B complex, getting your rest, getting some sleep, starting to build your immune system, you will discover that those symptoms will disappear and you won't even have to suffer from the cold. So when looking at it from that perspective, when you see or discover that there are issues in your bedroom or see problems of boredom, lack of conversation, or resentment coming forth, it's better to address them as soon as possible, to have an open discussion, address it in a manner of love, because what you're after is the warmth and the excitement that the relationship is there to bring. Anything else, that's not what you're after in a relationship. Now, that's not to say that when trouble does come, you should avoid it or ignore it, because oftentimes relationships are here to build us to become a better person. And when it is addressed from that perspective, we become more of what God has intended us to be. And that relationship brings the better of you to the surface of what the world needs. Because relationships, even though we're in them, they're not to exclude us from the rest of the world. They are to empower us to be more of an integral part of the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I will say that I'm definitely in agreement with if there are anger issues, anger issues especially, or resentment. I call them anger issues because I feel that resentment falls into anger. You know, it's best to address that then. And then and there, there's no need to carry that energy forward, and address what it is that created that, and have the opportunity to talk about where that feeling is actually coming from, because somebody is having an experience where you've kind of pushed their button and it reset them back to where it was in their past that this issue had come up. So, yeah, most definitely. And I would say that, you know, the suggestion about doing something that seems alternative and weird, well, let's just say, it could be just the journey itself could lead to an interesting conversation, and bring the creativity that you're truly desiring into your bedroom experience. But that's just my thought. Anyway, moving forward to number 8. Next time you argue with your partner, drop the shaming, blaming, need to be right, and listen without interrupting. Now, I know that this is hard for some people. this is hard for some people because there are a lot of people who are out there who are wanting to be right. And it says here, then communicate about how you feel using when you do this. You need to then communicate how you're feeling using I statements. It's not your partner's job to read your mind, guess what you're thinking, or put words into your mouth. These are huge obstacles to open, honest communication and will guarantee resentment, anger, and frustration in a relationship. And that's by Sharon Ryken, and she is a massage, excuse me, not massage, but she is a marriage therapist, marriage and family therapist. Okay, so I know that this can be challenging because nobody wants to be wrong or nobody wants to feel that they're the cause of something. And saying to a person that you made me feel this way, well, no, they did not make you feel this way. What they did was they pushed a button in you that caused you to feel some way where you felt disempowered or angry or whatever it is that you're feeling within yourself. And so when you are having your experience, you could say, you know, when you left me alone at the party. Let's just say that you've been at it. When you left me alone at the party and you were talking to those other people over there and not really bringing me into the conversation or not introducing me, I felt ignored. It's just an example. I felt ignored. And I'll be honest with you, that feeling comes from when I was younger and my parents used to have parties and they would just dismiss me and send me off to my room. And it was only about like 5 or 6 p.m. in the evening and my bedtime really wasn't until 7. And I really felt, you know, I would really feel dismissed by that. So that it made me feel like that. It reverted me back to those days.
Oh, my.
That's just an example. That's just an example. So there's no, so, you know, that comes out a whole lot better than you saying, you made me feel like, feel really, really small and ignored. And I can't understand why you would act that way. I mean, look, that's not really even taking accountability for your own feelings. And it really, when you say it like that, when you have that need to blame another person and you have that need to be right, what you're doing is you're giving away your own power within that experience. You're giving away your own power. It kind of shows that you are not in control of what it is. It shows a lack of like personal insight when you simply assume that was the person, because that may not have necessarily been their intention. They may be just somebody who's extremely extroverted and, you know, and they go out and do their own thing and it has nothing to do with you. But anyway, you want to add anything, honey?
I think back on when we were talking about fault finding, because it's funny how I've seen relationships and had arguments in relationships where all of that negative energy starts kicking in. And the negative vibration may not even have anything to do with what brought the argument to the table. And that can be harming in and of itself. So the key, I think, when a discussion that is heated occurs is to try to find the loving way of communicating. And it's not going to be easy, but the first thing you want to remember is that you love this person and that person loves you. And if there are words that come that show a lack of love, note that, not keeping record of it, but be aware so that you can come to a reconciliation about what that may have been, so you can eliminate it out of their relationship. Because you're after a relationship that is comforting. You're after a relationship that is the thing that you desire most in life. The relationship to me is the escape from the madness of the world. If you're experiencing the madness of the world to come into the madness of your house, you're going to have some maddening experience that's going to kick off something that you might be in the news. And it might not be pretty. Relationships is about love, you know. And one of the things I also wanted to share, Arlene, I think when we get to number 9, we should probably consider the time that has been spent and maybe come back to revisit the rest of this.
Okay. Because I didn't really have anything to say about number 9 so much. Really, I mean, because it's like number 8 and number 9 are almost the same thing. Okay, so moving on to number 9. Take responsibility in your arguments. In order to strengthen your marriage, learn to recognize that most arguments have shared responsibility, that both people have valid points and valid reasons for their feelings. And this is by Kate Morelli. It looks like she is a licensed counselor. So, again, when you're taking responsibility, you're using, you're taking responsibility for what it is that you're feeling, you know, and bringing that up. This idea that you have valid reasons and points. One of the things I will say is that I have learned not to really react when people get upset. I will ask them the question of, well, what did that remind you? You know, what did I say that brought this about, and what did it remind you of? And just tell them it was never really my intention to upset you. You know, so uh-huh. I want to know what was going on with you, and where it's coming from, because it is an opportunity to heal a situation. But I think that it's kind of part and parcel to number 8. You have anything to add?
To an extent, it is kind of part and parcel to number 8. But one of the things I find interesting is you have feelings, and everybody's feeling is a reality to them. So don't dismiss it and don't discount it as though it doesn't exist. That feeling may be linked to something that may not have anything to do with the argument in and of itself. But recognize your responsibility in the sense that something may have been tapped into of which your responsibility in that relationship or in that argument is to help that person make it through a difficult time that they had not had the closure for, or in something else that might have happened. Not saying that you're a counselor or that you have the training as of a life coach or a therapist, but you're operating in love, and that's key. When you're operating in love, you want to be vulnerable enough to recognize that everything isn't always about you, and an attack. Everything is not about you and or an attack on you. It could very well mean or be that the individual that is in their feelings is in need of help to get through those feelings, to get to a better place.
Okay. Let's do number 10, and then we'll be even, and then we'll come back and revisit this next week.
Okay.
So number 10 says, fair is not a four-letter word. You may have forgotten about fairness, but now's the time to bring it back into your relationship. You are both being fair when it comes to divvying up chores, communicating your needs, expressing dissatisfaction, dealing with finances, parenting, and supporting one another. If not now, how can you improve and bring fairness back to the relationship? And this is by Lisa Stedman, dating and relationship coach.
Mm.
Okay. So what do you think?
I hear the word harmony in that description, because I think of two songs, Stevie Wonder, All Is Fair in Love, and then Earth, Wind, and Fire, Life Is Fair. It's fair, but so uncool. So, I kind of go into that place of recognizing that you want some sense of balance, some sense of harmony that brings the comfort that a relationship ought to have for the both of you mutually. One of the biggest issues I hear, especially when there are children involved in a relationship, is the amount of time the mother may spend in comparison to what time the father may spend with the offsprings of that relationship. And oftentimes it appears that it is unevenly yoked. But you have to come to a place of understanding what that balance looks like for you and your partner, so that the harmony that is required will come about. Some people have issues with chores. Communication is always the key in my book. So do talk with one another. And just sometimes just know that it's going to be okay. And quit fighting all the time. Gee whiz, that's like people tired of that.
Okay, so I recall watching these shows where these family would have what they call the wife swap. I think that was actually the name of the show. And the show, what they would do is they would, you know, the wives would live with the family for a period of like 3 or 4 days, and then the wife the wife of the swapped out wife would go ahead and bring in what the rules and regulations and the things of that nature to to the relationship, into the household, and change up the dynamics of of how the household operated. There was one particular place where the husband was doing all of the work. So the husband was the provider, and you know, the husband did all of the cooking, the cleaning, and he pretty much married a princess that did no work. So the wife swap person that he got was a wife that really kind of believed in equity of the work. So what she ended up doing was putting the children to work to care for the house, and also I think she changed up the way they ate as well, but the relationship was where there was no fairness in how this household was operating. There was no fairness in how this place was operating. And this particular woman that came into this household with where the wife was a princess, she was a dairy farmer, and the dairy farmer wife came into the princess's home, and then the princess came into the dairy farmer's home. So what she started making the children clean up, because the father did everything. She started making the, you know, clean up, and then the father was all like, you know, the father was like, oh, he was happy for the changes that took place in the household because there was more equity of the, I guess you could say, equity of the labor of the taking care of the house. Now, when the princess went to the dairy farmer house, she did what she did. She switched everything up. And she switched everything up and was trying to have the father do all of the work on the dairy farm. And the children actually, you know, started crying when they could not help their father, because they knew how much work was required, and that, you know, that this woman comes into this house and she's not having them do any work.
Total madness.
Total madness. No equity of the work. Well, let's just say once they switched back over, I don't know if the husband who, you know, when they switched their wives back and the princess came home, things had changed up significantly, because the children in that household really got to see how much work their father would do. And I think that there was just a little bit more compassion for the father after they started having to do the work. A little bit.
Yeah,
but,
well, perspective is everything.
And let's just say that the dairy farmer family was happy to have their mom back.
I know that's right.
real fairness. It's not a foul word, ladies and gentlemen.
Check that out.
Oh, okay. Well, that was number 10. We're going to go ahead and shut this down. We lasted a little bit longer than we normally would have. But is there anything that you want to share with the family before we get off the line?
Yes. Wife swap ain't no wife swap unless y'all hitting that thing. I'm sorry. I just had to say that. You know, that's just me.
Okay. All right, family. So we will see you next week. I am having a special show tomorrow called Spiritual 411. And there is for those of you who are, into astrology, please feel free to join me, because I'm going to give you some important information about a few dates that are coming up that are going to be a very powerful time. So you can actually add in your spiritual practices. So please join me at 8 p.m. tomorrow here on Divine Inspiration Network, where I will do the Spiritual 411. So we are going to go ahead and sign off, and we give thanks for your presence here. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. And we know that wherever you are, God is.
Ah, Shay.
Me love so steady.
loves his basketball and he loves a good book. I'll tell you how I know he's the perfect one for me. 'Cause he's a warrior in the streets, but he's a king in the sheets. He's giving me love so steady. He touches my heart, now I'm ready. He touches my soul.